Amen. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. I say amen to everything Brother Jamie said. Amen. I was going to say, I know what, when he eats gumbo, that's the way he preaches now. So y'all need to write that down on the menu list. That's what, and Brother Thompson, when he got on them Catholics, I thought he was going to detonate. I just thought he was, but all that's just picking on him. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And Brother Watson made the statement, we've got different styles and different ways. And by the way, God called us different. Meant for that to be different. Amen. Still the same truth. And when we know the truth, we can say amen to it. Amen. And but we need that. We need that in this day. In which we live more than we ever have. Amen. I'm going to try my best to be considerate of the time and the fact and all this. I don't want to rush it and miss God, but at the same time, I know somebody's got to go to work tomorrow and got life to live, things to be done, if tomorrow comes. If tomorrow don't come, we'll be glad that we spent today in the house of God. Amen. And matter of fact, when we get to tomorrow, and if there's troubles there, and there very well could be troubles there, we might be glad that we is in the house of God and might wish that we had stayed and enjoyed it a little bit more. Amen. Got a little bit more involved in it. But I appreciate all of you being here. The other churches that have come in, thank you for doing that. Amen. We're in a day, and you know this is the truth, we're in a day that if it's not my crowd, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. If it's not my church, you know, then we're not going to be active. And some of them ain't even active if it is their church. Right. But I appreciate you coming together. That's what unity's supposed to be about. Amen. And like I said, we may be different, but we're on the same team. Everybody don't play catcher. Everybody's not pitcher. We need them all to be make a team. Amen. And pardon that carnal illustration, but I was looking at y'all when I said that. All right. Amen. Matthew chapter number 8, I said it's where I'm going to take my text. I'm also going to read from Mark chapter number 1. And so if you would, if you'd look there also as well, I'll give you a minute to find those places. And hopefully we can look at these together. Matthew chapter number 8 and then Mark chapter number 1. And I've got all of them marked in my Bible, so I'll be ready. And then also Luke chapter 4. And so a lot of places, this is a Bible conference. Amen. And so I don't think it'd be wrong to use our Bible. And we'll look at these. These are known as the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Three different men looking at the same thing from three different angles. God gave them all the words, but they're looking at it in different avenues. There's no contradictions in their Bible. There's complementary things in the Bible. That's right. And these are not contradicting each other in their stories, but they're complementing each other in giving out these accounts. And I love to look at it. When I look at some of these stories, I like to look at all three if I can. And it's interesting to me how John's so much different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And yet, such a wonderful, all of these are such wonderful books in our Bible. I'm glad God gave us all these accounts. Amen. Just like what I said earlier, Brother Jamie's different than I am. Brother Jacob's different than we are. And you know, you got all these different voices. Your pastor's maybe different than any of these others. And yet, God uses these voices to tell us the same gospel story. And He can use that particular angle to speak to that particular heart the way that He sees fit too. All right. So I'll read first in Matthew chapter 8. And verse number 14 and 15, would you stand with us as we honor the reading of the Word of the Lord? I know you don't have to stand all the time, but it might help you to do so. I won't have you stand when I read the others, because I'll say some things and then go along in these others. But Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 14 is a text that I want to read first of all. It says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Amen. I want to deal with this account of our Lord ministering to Peter's mother-in-law, and then her ministering after that she had been ministered to. And this is my title. We must be ministered to before we can minister to. And it's truth. We must be ministered to before we can minister to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God already preached. Thank you for the soul that's been saved. Thank you for the others that have been convicted. I pray, dear Lord, somebody else will surrender. I pray they'll wave the white flag of surrender unto the Lord. They'll submit to the will of God, and they'll come and repent and believe the gospel and be saved. And then those that are saved that have made those foolish decisions, not just be beat up, but that they'd get to God and get right about it and admit that they've made a mistake and admit that they've gone their own way and get some help from the Lord. Father, I pray, help us as we look in these scriptures. I've preached this message before, but Lord, make it fresh and new to us in our heart, and help us to see the wondrous blessings of our Savior and how you're willing to touch and heal and help us to minister to somebody else once we've been ministered to. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'll go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter number 1 and look at the text there in verses number 29. Through 31, a little bit more. There's only two verses in Mark's or Matthew's gospel. Now here in Mark, there's three. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. You see the same story? Same story. Look in Luke, and you can hold your place in these if you like. I'll be referring back to them in a little bit, but you might not have to look at it. Verses number 38 and 39. Again, two verses in Luke's gospel. Luke chapter number 4, verses 38 and 39. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Amen. And so, as I said, my thought is we must be ministered to before we can minister to. There's three things I want to point out, if I can, in the text as we're looking at these accounts. Sometimes we'll call this a story, but it's not just a make-believe story. It's not a fantasy story. It's an actual account. It's actual happening, and it's told in this form. And by the way, I thank God that God doesn't, in God's Word, He gives us doctrine, but He gives us doctrine through life character. Right? We can look back about Abraham, and that's somebody we can relate to. Amen. We can look at Lot. That's somebody we can relate to. We look at David. We go down the line. Look at these different individuals. In our Lord's account, He deals with people. He's not just laying out. He's not just preaching doctrine. He's giving us personal illustration and examples of how it fits. Because God knows we don't just learn by hearing. We also learn by seeing it lived in flesh. And I'll tell you, one of the wisest things you can do is learn from somebody else's mistakes and not have to make them yourself. Amen. Not have to make those mistakes all on your own. So I want us to notice the case that is in front of us here. And then we'll notice the condition. And we'll notice the cure, I mean. And then we'll notice the comment that is made about that. What's being taught in this story. There's the case or the condition that is before us. Peter's wife's mother is sick of a fever, right? She's sick of a fever. Now, by the way, Brother Jamie done touched about the Catholics. The Catholics claim that Peter's the first pope, but he's got a mother-in-law. Amen. Now, who's in the wrong there? I'll tell you who's in the wrong. The Catholic Church is in the wrong. They forbid their popes to marry, their priests to marry, right? And they a claim that Peter was a pope. Peter never was a pope. Peter was a preacher. Amen. Popes are not preachers. Matter of fact, Peter was a believer. Popes are not believers. Right? Peter was a man of God. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said this every time I think I've ever preached on this text, and I've said it other times, that I can't dogmatically say, the Bible never says Peter's mother-in-law. It says Peter's wife's mother. Right. And so they say, well, how do you know Peter had a wife? Because his wife had a mother. And this is the way I've said it. A man, I don't care how smart he is, he's not too smart if he gets a mother-in-law and don't have a wife. That's not too smart. Amen. So, I mean, Adam was, he had the best deal. Now, he got a wife without a mother-in-law. He's the only one ever done that. Amen. But Peter's wife's mother was sick of a fever, and our Lord comes on the scene. And by the way, they're in Capernaum, and if you'd study and read your scriptures, I'm sure you probably know this already, but it looks like, especially in the early ministry of our Lord, he based in Capernaum. That looks like a base that they based out of, and he's working there, and they're actually in a house. We'll only find that in this account. And of course, you go to Mark chapter 2, and they're in a house, and it's been proclaimed throughout all the city that Christ is in the house. And they're tearing the roof off. You know that story? More than likely, that's this house that he's talking about right here. Amen. Peter's house. And somebody said, you better know the Lord's in the house. You go tearing shingles off of Peter's house. Because he'll tear shingles off of your house. Amen. And I believe that's probably right. But Peter had a house. We see it in the text here. And it's interested in the fact that the disciples didn't have houses and lands. But they did it this time. Somewhere along the line, they have to give it up. Because Peter later says, it's not very long after this, in Matthew's gospel, Peter makes the statement, and he says, Lord, we've given up houses and lands. And we've given up all these things, and what's going to be in it for us. And so my point is this, it's not that you can't have a house, but this is the point. If God asks for it, we ought to be willing to give it to Him. Right? It's not that we can't have things, but there ought to be nothing that we have that if He asks for, He couldn't have. Because it all belongs to Him. Right? It all belongs to Him, and that's the way it ought to be in our life. So Peter had a house, and it's very obvious here in the text that he does. Matter of fact, not only Matthew says that, Mark says that, Luke says that, and then also John even says that. In John chapter 1, it talks about the house with John and James and Peter and Andrew, and it looks like it's their combined house that they have there. And so they're come out of the synagogue, and they're entered into the house. Now, he says there in Mark chapter number 1 and verse 29 that I read to you, he says, and forthwith they were come out of the synagogue, and they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. So not just Simon's house. It's just like they had a fishing business together. Looks like they own a house together. And James and John, it's in there the same. Again, fishermen, probably part of the same team. They own this house. Maybe it's part of the business. But when they cast those nets, and one of the preachers, Brother Heffington, preached on it this week about launch out. And when they became fishers of men, the Bible said they forsook all. What that meant, they forsook their nets, they forsook their ships, they forsook their house. They forsook it all and went and served God. Amen. For the glory of God. Amen. And so this house is only mentioned in the accounts given in this incident, and then again in chapter number 2 with the removal of the roof, that they let the man down through the roof that I talked about there also. Amen. And so Peter not only had a house, but I think about Peter had a wife. Amen. And I just love to rub that in their noses. Amen. Peter wasn't a homosexual. That's what you got to be to be. No, I don't guess you do. But most of them are. And I appreciate what the preacher said there. The Bible calls them sodomites. And people said, well, I don't think you ought to say anything about it. The Bible says quite a bit about it. And as much as it is today, we need to say more about it. Amen. We need to recognize it as it is. It's not just an alternate lifestyle. It's an abomination before God. Amen. It is a rejection of the natural of God. Women leaving the natural use. Men leaving the natural use. Right? It's against nature. You say, well, what about those that was born that way? They weren't born that way. God never made a mistake. Amen. Amen. God never made somebody in the wrong body. People have deformities. People have problems. And by the way, God may make you with some issue in your body, but it's not that God put you in the wrong body. Amen. Amen. I guess I could argue and say, well, I'm a skinny man in a fat man's body. And I want you to identify me as a skinny man. Right. That wouldn't make it true. It'd make you a liar. Right? And I'm honest, what they're doing today in our world is they're trying to force us to lie to what we know to be the truth. Amen. Lie to what we know to be the truth. Amen. All right. I didn't mean to get off on that. He got me fired up. I blame him for it. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. So Peter had this wife. Matter of fact, Paul mentioned that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He said, have we not power to lead a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles? Looked like all of them had wives. Amen. Then he even said, as well as the brethren of our Lord and Cephas. He mentioned specifically about Peter. And so then the case here, not only Peter had a house, Peter had a wife, but Peter's wife's mother had a problem. And our Lord healed her. Now, here's what I'm interested in looking at these three texts is the different ways in which our Lord healed this woman. Now, some people believe that this lady was probably very old and perhaps infirm. And, of course, we know she's sick at this time. And that would be the reason why Peter and his wife have her in the home, that they're probably taking care of her. Amen. And we come to this account. I say this, that our Lord Jesus did not overlook this aged woman. Amen. We're in a society that doesn't have any use for babies or old folk. Really? Amen. They're for killing the babies in the womb and they're for killing the old folks in the old folks' home. If they can get them in the hospital and get them quarantined off. Yeah. You say, do you believe they're killing them? I certainly do. I believe they're allowing them to die. Because they're not any good to our society. The idea they're a drain on our society is the mentality of a lot of people. And we've got a generation, by the way, that's coming up that's saying, get out of my way, boomer. Get out of my way, old person. Get out of my way. Let me rule the world. You remember Mr. Obama said, we are the generation we've been waiting for. I wasn't waiting for him. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got this mentality that's in our world today, but our Lord looked upon her. Look first, if you will, in Mark's account. I'll deal with that one in the issue. I'm glad our Lord does not overlook old folk. I'm glad our Lord does not reject people just simply because of their age or simply because of their infirmity or their inability. Amen. Amen. Jesus cared for this woman and healed this woman. Amen. Now notice that the scriptures tell us that he noticed her. Now I'll read again Mark 1 verse 29. And forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Look at this phrase. And anon they tell him of her. You know what that means? Anon, it means by and by. We'd say eventually. They told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Well, I'm glad that our Lord's interested in this woman. Here's what it looks like to me. They're busy. I mean, they just been to church, been to synagogue, maybe they've been to Bible conference, maybe they've been to camp meeting, maybe they've been to a singspiration. I don't know what they've been to. They've been to something at the synagogue, and they've been having a busy time, and they come back to the house, and they're getting ready to have a meal, and they're getting ready to fellowship and enjoy themselves together, and eventually somebody remembers grandma's back there and not feeling well. Do you know sometimes we get so busy we forget about our loved ones? It don't mean we don't care. But it means we get forgetful. We get forgetful. Somebody ever tell you, tell you weeping, they'll say, pray for so-and-so. And you say, I will. And you mean to. But you get busy. You get busy. Brother Jamie touched on that thing about marriage and when it goes wrong, you've got a train wreck. I know what he's talking about when he said it gets close to him. I know what he's talking about there. We've got a son. Our middle son, Joshua's here, he's our oldest son. Our middle son is in the midst of all that right now. And he'll be in the midst of the rest of his life, just to be honest with you. Married wrong, against advice. I don't hate him in the least. He's my son, I love him. His name's Daniel. Here's what I was going to say. Daniel's going through it and just continue. We go back to North Carolina, we try to help him. He's got four kids, by the way. That he's responsible to take care of because she's not going to. She's getting all kind of government help but still doing what she wants to do rather than trying to live for God or do anything for her children. But that's the mentality we've got in our world today. I want my pleasure, and I don't want anything to restrict me of my pleasure. If it restricts me, by the way, children, I said the other day, children are treated like pets. When, Daddy, I'll feed him if you'll get me a puppy dog, and that lasts for how long? I want a baby, and that lasts for how long? I want another one. I want them because they like little babies, but they don't take care of the ones they got. Something wrong with that. You want? They want a pet. That's what they want. They want a pet. Right? But I was going to say that, and my son Daniel, we were coming back from North Carolina a couple of weeks ago now, and we stopped at a cookout restaurant, went in to use the bathroom. We were right in Bristol, Virginia, and we were coming back from North Carolina to Kentucky, and we're in there in the place, and I'm wearing a ball cap, actually it's got our radio station information on it, and the fellow from the counter said, "You must work at the radio station." I said, "I'm doing it." I talked to him a little bit about the radio, and the lady sat over there getting her drink, and she turned to us, and she said, "Are y'all Christians?" We said, "Yes, ma'am." She started telling us about, she said, "I'm a Christian." Started telling us about her salvation experience. Told us about she'd had a near-death experience. Told us about that. She said, "Would you pray for my son?" Said his name's Daniel. Said his wife left him about 6 months ago. She said he'd been married 3 years. It's a little bit different than our son. She said they've been married 3 years. They got a 2-year-old boy. And about 6 months ago, she walked off and left him and said he's so distraught, he is contemplating suicide. Said he's putting things on Facebook and different places about possible suicide. Well, here's what I said to my wife. I said, "That woman is tore up. That woman is concerned about her boy. Concerned enough to talk to strangers. Yeah. Concerned enough to grasp at straws that maybe a stranger at a counter can get a hold of God and can help her boy. But I ain't forgot his name because I got a boy named Daniel. And I believe God allowed that to come into my life that I might have compassion on somebody that's got another problem like that. Amen. And I can pray for her boy like I want somebody to pray for my boy. Amen." And since then, I found out about another Daniel. Been married 2 months. And his wife's been gone a month. Can you believe that? Grow up in church. This kind of church, by the way. You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying, we got problems. We better remember to pray about them problems. We better remember to tell the Lord about them problems. Amen. Now, I guess it has to be said, before you get on Facebook and tell the world about your problem, won't you at least tell the Lord about your problem? And why don't you at least tell the church about your problem? It's a sad day when people's telling people in other states about trouble. They don't even tell their own home church about their troubles. And the Bible says, "Is any sick among you? Let him pray." Matter of fact, he said, "Let him call for the elders of the church." It means the church ought to be praying for one another. Amen. But it looks like in this case that these people had a problem, and Peter's wife's mother's sick, and they're busy, and anon. Eventually, they told him of her. And when they told him of her, he dealt with it. Amen. I'm glad our Lord's interested in their needs even when we forget their needs. It's not that he had to be reminded, but he wants us to tell him. Look in Luke chapter number 4, how that he comes aware of it. Luke chapter 4 and verses 38 and 39. "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother lay with a great fever." That's a different, tells a little bit more, but not just a fever. It's a great fever. I mean, this fever's put her in the bed. Amen. "And they besought her," or him, "for her." They besought him. Not just they eventually got around to telling him about it. By the way, again, it's not a contradiction. It's just more complimentary, telling us more information. Amen. Amen. I said to somebody earlier this week, is asking a question about things that people say are contradictory in the Scripture. When a Scripture looks contradiction, we need more information. Right. We need more information we can understand. There's no contradictions in our Bible. Amen. God does not contradict Himself. Right. We don't need new translations. Amen. I was telling these men about our radio station. We get notifications about things. They come out with a new Bible now. Already a new Bible. John MacArthur's bunch has translated a new one that they're calling the LSB. Legacy Study Bible. LSB. Ken Ham's bunch has jumped on it and they're promoting it. Matter of fact, they've given a bunch of money to get a bunch of copies made. And we have a little creation moment thing that we play. I've told them, I said, monitor that. If they say one thing about it, I want it gone. Amen. LSB, the same crowd that come out, all that Calvinistic crowd that promoted the ESV, now they found out they need one that's a little more sovereign than that one. Yeah, they need one a little bit more irresistible than that one. And so they got the LSB. I told our folk, better be careful with that LSB. You get hooked on that, you'll have hallucinations. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But this case tells us Luke tells us then that not just that they finally got around to it, but they ask him about it. I'm glad God is interested when we hit the altar and we hit our knees and we call on heaven for our loved ones. I'm glad God in heaven's willing to hear. Amen. And willing to do something about it. Now look at our original text back in Matthew chapter number 8. Again, I notice how he does it. In verse number 14 of Matthew chapter 8, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Matthew didn't even notice that they got around to telling him about it. He just said, it looked like the Lord saw it. Amen. Can I tell you that when the Lord comes in our house, he sees more problems than we tell him about? Right. He's aware of more problems probably than we're aware of. He knows what's going on in the back room. Amen. He knows what went on yesterday before he got there. He knows what's in our house, and he's interested in the problems that are in our home. It looks like in Matthew's gospel, it doesn't say that anybody mentioned her to Jesus. But Jesus saw the need that she had. Amen. I'm glad this young man said he got saved by the grace of God. I got saved in a Baptist church on the fifth Sunday in June, 1974. Amen. 50 years ago, I got saved as an 8-year-old boy. I could have been saved earlier. God dealt with me when I was 7. Amen. God dealt with me, and I remember it well. He dealt with me when I was... You say, preacher, you hadn't done a lot. No, but I knew I was lost. Amen. I knew I was lost and in need of a Savior. I didn't know what repentance was. I couldn't have spelled it. I didn't know what fornication was. Couldn't have spelled it. But I knew I was a sinner. Amen. And I'm glad we had a faithful preacher. When I went forward and I said to him, preacher, can you tell me how to be saved? He stood there and had his Bible with him and quoted some, didn't open and read it. He just quoted some Bible to me, John 3:16. Amen. He didn't take me down the Romans road. I said I wasn't trying to get to Rome. I was trying to get to Jesus. So he took me to John 3:16 and told me about Jesus. Amen. And he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting in life. He said, you believe that? And I said, yes, sir. He said, try it and see. That's what he said. Try it and see. I bowed down there at the altar and called on God. A whole lot of things I didn't know. But I'm glad he saved me by his grace. Amen. Now here's what I was going to say about that. If you'd have come in our home, my dad had just announced his call to preach a few months before that. My dad announced his call to preach in March, I believe, and then I got saved in June. And if you'd have come in our home, you'd have thought everything looked good. You wouldn't have known that I was in need. But when the Lord come by, he recognized my need. Amen. I'm glad he can do that in a church just like this. Amen. I'm glad he can do it in a home. Amen. Our homes. He can do it in our nation. He can do it in our world. So I talk about the case here. Then I want to talk about the cure, if I can. I say again, when Jesus comes in our house, he sees things we might not even be aware of, but he's ready to handle it. He's got the cure. Now, it's no surprise that Jesus could heal this woman. And really, to be honest with you, no surprise that he would. But I'm interested in how that he healed her. Look in our text, Matthew chapter 8, verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Just a touch. Just a touch. Amen. Just a touch from the Lord. I talk about that healing touch. Amen. Can I tell you that what we need to be praying for is a touch from heaven. Amen. A touch of God on the singing. A touch of God on the testifying. A church of God on the preaching. A church of God on the praying. A touch. That's what we ought to pray for. A touch. Because a touch can mean the difference in somebody getting help and somebody not getting the help that they need. Mark chapter number 1, verse 31, again, a little bit different. And I'm glad he tells us this in different ways. Look at it, verse 31. And he came to her and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. Amen. He took her by the hand and he lifted her up. Amen. He lifted. I'm glad God's still in the lifting business. Amen. The preacher said it right when he said, we're low down, buddy. We're low down. You know what low down people need? They need to be lifted. I'm glad we got a God that's arms not shortened. Neither is his ear heavy. Amen. But it's the sins that separate us. But when we'll admit our sin, he's willing to reach down that long arm. Amen. And rescue us from our sin. Amen. I remember when I was sinking deep in sin, don't you? Far from the peaceful shore. The song said, very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. Amen. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. He didn't say take 12 good steps. No, he said reach my hand. Amen. Take a hold of my hand. That's right. Take a hold of my... We used to sing that old song. When I looked up, he looked down. Amen. I'm glad that's exactly what he did for me. But it wasn't in me looking up. It's in the fact that he was looking for me. But when I realized he was looking for me, I was ready to reach up. I was ready for some help. Sinner, listen to me. God's looking at you and he's willing to help you. He's wanting you to recognize your case and lift up your eyes and reach for him. Not that you can reach him, but he can reach you. That's right. I like Brother Bryant says this. I've heard him say it more than one time. He said, I don't believe you can get saved just any time you want to. But I also don't believe you'll ever get saved unless you want to. God's never saved anybody against their will. No. It's not irresistible grace. He don't drag you down to the altar. Amen. You got to be willing. Look in Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter 4. And notice how it says in verse 39. I like it again. More information. Luke chapter number 4, verse 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Almost like rebuking a devil, ain't it? Rebuked the fever and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. He stood over her. I'm glad he's over us. And he rebuked the fever. I'm glad he's able to rebuke the problem. Amen. The preacher said it, and it just bears repeating to say it again. You'll never get help till you know the problem. You got to admit the problem. Amen. By the way, go back, and I don't mean to drag this out, but these things, be honest with you, this is important. Let me say it this way, because I believe we're there. I don't know of a church, I just said it about divorce. I don't know of a church that don't have divorced people in the church. That don't mean we want them run off. That don't mean we think they're worthless. But we don't ever want to agree with what God said was wrong. Never say that it was right to do, but say, thank God I've got forgiveness for it. Right? He said, you got those tattoos, cover them up when you get saved. Amen. If you can get rid of them, get rid of them. Right? There's some things you've got you'll never be rid of. Scars you'll carry to your grave. But that don't mean you can't serve God. Might mean you can't do some things, but you can serve God. Amen. You can live for God and you can go on, but never try to excuse the past. Because when you do, you lay a stumbling block for somebody else. Amen. Oh, me. A whole lot that could be said about that. Amen. He stood over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. I'm glad he can rebuke the disease of sin. I'm glad his word can chase the devils away. Amen. I like to think about the fact that our Lord never met a devil he couldn't handle. Never met one. We're living in a day of demons now. Don't you think we're not? Amen. Hollywood's made a joke of them. Hollywood is full of them, by the way. Amen. Full of them. And all this demonic activity, this sorcery and supernatural stuff that they have, that they just go overboard on. They just get so excited about it and attached to all this Harry Potter and all this voodoo kind of stuff that they get in on, Halloween kind of stuff they get in on, really. And they just soak it up and love it. But I'm going to tell you, devils are real. And they're going to be more and more before Jesus gets here. Yeah, I believe Brother Sammy used to say, if the devils were prominent in people when our Lord was here the first time, don't you think they'll make a second appearance about the time He makes a second appearance? I believe they're getting more and more prominent in people. Yeah, again, why in the world would you mark yourself up like people are marking themselves up if it wasn't demonic? Why in the world would you bore holes in yourself like people are boring holes in themselves? Disfiguring their ears, disfiguring their face. Why would you do that if it was not a demonic influence? Absolutely. Demonic influence. But here's what I'm glad of. Our Lord never met a devil He couldn't handle. When devils come in, God can rebuke the devil. God can calm down the devil. God can deal with the devil. Amen. I've said to our church, I believe... Joshua's heard me say this. I believe you go to a church full of devils and you can say, slide over devils, I'm going to worship God. I didn't mean to point at y'all when I said that. Amen. Maybe I should have done it this way. Amen. I'm just kidding. But you can say, slide over devils, I'm going to worship God, because you can worship God if you want to worship God. God's bigger than the devils are. Amen. God's bigger than the devils. Now, I don't mean that if you're in a place full of devils that you might not ought to get out. Because there might be a reason why it's full of devils. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we had some people, they had family in our church. They'd gone off. I mentioned earlier in my message earlier about a young woman that's no longer a woman today, sat in our church, grew up in our church, and just warped today. Her and her first husband. She's not got a second one. She's got a woman this time. But her and her husband was supposedly looking for a church. They looked for a church for about 13 years. Never found one. Yeah, Brother Sammy said the reason people can't find a good church, same reason bank robbers can't find policemen. I think that's right. They couldn't find. They said they went to this one church for over a month before they realized everybody in there was a sodomite. It was a sodomite church. I said, it wouldn't took me 30 seconds. I don't believe it would. I don't believe it would take any natural person 30 seconds to figure out that place is full of sodomites. What are you saying, preacher? Devils. But our Lord can rebuke the devils. Amen. Amen. I know I'm rambling. Let me get my last point and I'll be done. Last point. Look at the council. This is in every one. I said all these differences. Differences about how He was told about her or not told. Differences about how He said or how He touched or how He rebuked, how He spoke. All those looks like differences, but these are the same in every one of these. Mark chapter 8, our original text, Mark chapter number 8, He says in verse number 15, look at it, and He touched her hand and the fever left her, and this phrase, and she arose and ministered unto them. Look at Mark chapter number 1 and verse 31. And He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And here's the phrase, and she ministered unto them. Look in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 38, 39. And He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And this phrase, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Every one of these cases, she helped them. She got help. And she helped them. That's right. She got help and she became a helper. I just believe that's how it works. I believe when people really get saved, I don't believe you have to hunt them down Sunday night. Right? I don't believe you have to beg them and plead with them to do something for the Lord. I mean, you get saved, you go, oh, such a debt. You recognize what a debt has been paid and how much you owe Him. Amen. He paid such a great debt to me. I owe so much to Him. And you want to do something for Him. Amen. That's absolutely right. The only thing that calms down that fire is a bunch of wet blankets. Amen. This woman got helped, and all of a sudden she wanted to help others. Now, here's what I think. This is my supposition. I'll close with supposition. I wonder, they've been to church and she couldn't go. Sick folk weren't allowed in the tabernacle. They weren't allowed in the synagogue. She couldn't go. Amen. It wasn't she was looking for an excuse. She couldn't go. I believe this is a good woman. I believe this is a godly woman. This is a woman who raised a wife for Simon Peter now. Yeah. And I imagine she's thinking, well, I wish I went to the house of God, but she couldn't go. But Jesus came to her house. And so she hears the racket going on in there, and she knows they're preparing a meal. She'd like to be doing something for her Lord. I mean, she hears somebody say, maybe, she says, who's in there? Maybe one of the grandchildren, who's in there? I don't know if they had grandchildren, but who's in there? And she says, they said, it's the Lord. And she says, oh my, I wish I wasn't sick. I wish I could do something for my Lord. I'd love to be able to fix a meal for the Lord. I'd love to be able to fellowship with my Lord. I'd love to be able to spend time with my Lord. But she couldn't because she's sick. And I don't know if that's when anon they told him of it. I don't know if that's when they beseeched him that he'd help her. Or if that's just when the Lord said, you know, I feel somebody wanting to touch the hem of my garment. I believe I'll go in there and touch her and help her. And when he went in there and helped her, she became a helper. Now listen to me, young men, you can do something for God. If you'll get a desire to do something for God. I don't know where you're from, what you've done, or nothing about it. But I know this, you can do something for God. Let God touch you. Let Him rebuke the sickness. Hey, not just all these children. Amen. All of us old heads. Amen. We can do something for God. This woman, I don't know how old she was, but she's got a grown daughter and a grown son-in-law. Yeah. And she's been sick, and it looks like she's probably an elderly lady, and she's been sick, but she can do something for the Lord once the Lord touches her. Amen. Listen, this is what we ought to have. When we come to Bible conference, or we come to Wednesday night service, or we just come to church, we ought to get some help so that then we can go out and be a helper for the glory of God. We don't just come in to soak up. We ought to come in to get some help from the Lord so we can do something for the glory of God. Preacher, I'm done. Thank you.